Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this day in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, for the beginning of a new week, Lord. What better way to begin anything as a child of God? Scripture says, in all that you do, do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the providence of God, you arrange it in such a way that the day of worship is the first day of the week, so that your children can put you first, at the beginning of the week. So we thank you for the fellowship here this morning, times of singing and rejoicing in the name of the Lord. Father, we worship and we adore you, Lord. The Lord is mindful of his people. The Lord cares for us. But we say he cares for us, even number the very hairs of our head. Lord, we thank thee, O Lord. So we trust you this morning as always, as we read your word this morning, that you will give us understanding, and Lord, you will help us to let it mix together with faith that might profit us in the days to come. Grant it, Father. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. If you want to turn your Bible to probably Jeremiah 33, I will just kind of paraphrase the 10th verse, and then I'll probably read the 11th verse of Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter. I will paraphrase the 10th verse, and I will read the 11th verse, and by the grace of God, probably take a text from there. So now, Judah, and Israel, since the days after, Solomon, the nation divided into two. Used to be one before. There are the 10 northern kingdoms, and then the two southern kingdoms, which is Judah. Because Rehoboam was the one that followed Solomon, and we remember how the elders of of the nation came to him. Look, your father Solomon did this and this to us. And so what are you going to do about all the things that he didn't do well about us? Well, he took counsel from the elders who grew up with Solomon. They advised him rightly, but he should have stayed with that. But he went and called his own younger generation for another advice, and then they advised him badly, but all in the providence of God. Oh, your father beat us with rod. I will beat you with scorpions, he said. and some of that, Anyway, that's why the nation divided into the 10 other kingdoms called Israel, and then the two other kingdoms they called Judah. Anyway, so Jeremiah the prophet, foretold of the captivity of Judah, that southern kingdom, because of course, when they sin, the Lord will send them into captivity. That's their punishment. Moses told them from the beginning, when you sin, this land filled with milk and honey, I will drive you out of it. So Jeremiah kind of prophesied, of the captivity of Judah into Babylon. Prior to that, the 10 northern kingdoms have been gone to captivity to Assyria. Till today, they have not returned. The northern kingdom, they haven't returned till today, but they will return at the end of the age. So we know that. So, later on, about 100 years after the Assyrian captivity of the northern kingdom, Jeremiah prophesied that Judah, he said, will go to captivity for 70 years. And of course, it was so. So those returned in that time of Daniel, and so on. So they returned and so on, but the 10 northern kingdoms haven't returned, but they were able to return at the end of the age. So anyway, of this captivity of Judah, Jeremiah foretold of it, right? And he said when they are gone, the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem will become desolate, without any man in it, without any beast, and without any inhabitant, he said. But God, being so merciful to his people, he never discarded his people. He then prophesied again God will bring them back again from the captivity. That's why I go to verse 11. So, thus said the Lord, he said, again, there shall be heard in this place, that's part of verse 10, right? Then verse 11, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that say, praise the Lord of hosts. For the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. If by the grace of God, I may take a text this morning, I'll say the sacrifice of praise. Praise the Lord. The sacrifice of praise. Now, you see, so God is always merciful. Even in that chapter of Jeremiah, he said, if you can break my covenant of the day and the covenant of the night, then we have no man to sit upon the throne of David. He said it so many times, that particular case and some of that, you know. So anyway, it's always merciful. He punished them when they sin and some of that, you know. So even the church itself, you know, and so on, you know, he said, I will restore the church who has seen this house in the former glory. Talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who has seen this church in the former glory. For the day of Pentecost, how it was and so on. And the great revivals and so forth. But to the prophet of Joel, he said, I will restore, saith the Lord. That was to the Jew only. After all, at the birth of the church, that prophecy was quoted in Acts chapter 2. That not only to Israel, this year I will restore in Joel chapter 2, but to the church own also and so on, that you know. So at the end of the age, as you look for its coming, there will be a great restoration, revival that will sweep the church out of this place. So for this morning, I'm talking about the sacrifice of praise. So every Christian should know that he or she should praise the Lord. It should also be known, and many don't know this, that the Lord did not create us just continually asking for things. Those are part of it. They are secondary. We are made to praise Him. Praise the Lord. It was written somewhere. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, not just we asking God for things, so we were made to praise Him. But I know you and I, many of God's children, what about those times in your life when the bottom seems to have dropped out, so to say, you know? And when maybe the beat are piling up, overdue and so on, when you are confronted with job or business situation, when your head seems to be failing, or when you are just alone, how do you practice boldly praising God when it seems like there is nothing to praise Him for? I say seems, right? You know, how do you go about praising God in such condition? Well, in times such as this, and they come to all of us, you and I, even whether it is a prophet or Peter and so on, look at the Bible. Look at the Bible. Even the greatest of prophets, even those who are translated like Elijah, at one time say, Lord, I am not even any better than my father. Let him just not die now. Prophet Elijah, who called that fire on Mount Carmel and flew for all for the bears prophet and 450 prophets of the groups. He comes to all of us by the side of God. All that God has must be tried. Amen? But unless we are bastards. You know? So for as a child of God, even in that condition, you know enough to praise the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Sacrifice of praise, right? To praise the Lord. Call any prophet in the Bible. Is it Elijah? Bible says, take for example the prophet as suffering example of affliction. Book of James says so. So anyway, so we see that right now. So don't say, hi, why me? Oh, I'm going to... No. So you see, so anyway, it comes to all of God's children, you know. So the thing is this, no matter what, in such a time, just praise the Lord anyhow. Amen? Praise Him anyhow. Praising God under all circumstances and at all times is not only scriptural, but pleasing to the Lord. Psalm 34 verse 1 says, David, I will bless the Lord at all times. Don't matter, mark it all times, right? And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18, Apostle Paul writing by divine inspiration, in everything give thanks, no matter what they are, in everything give thanks, you know. So when we do not feel like praising the Lord, then we must sacrifice praise unto him, sacrifice of praise, right? When you don't even feel like praising the Lord, you must sacrifice praises unto him. Feelings or no feelings, God demands a sacrifice of praise continually. That's why in Hebrews 13:15, by him, meaning our Lord Jesus Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, in the New Testament, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Not only Judah, when they were returned from captivity, with some of them offered the sacrifice of praise to the house of the Lord, even the church of the living God, you see, you know, offer sacrifice of praise to the living God. Where in their own religion, in the Jewish religion, the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of praise has a vital place in Christian living, in the bold Christian living, really. It requires discipline, judicial discipline, right? This is especially true because of man's natural tendency to be governed by your feelings, your five senses. Don't forget, thank God for the five senses. They are given to you to interact with the physical environment. You are a spiritual man, see? So your spirit is who contacts God. My smelly, if you smell bad gases around me, so I don't get poisoned and so on. My eyes will see where I'm going physically, you know. That's a spiritual eyes too, you know. So there's a spiritual, then there's a natural and so on, you know. So anyway, so feeling or no feeling, we are to praise the Lord. Anyway, we are commanded. We are commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4:4. Mind us what always, right? Your creator, my creator, he can't make you to do the wrong thing. It is always the right thing. The thing that will benefit you. If you don't say in one place, I know the thought as I think about you, right? Jeremiah prophesied, the thought of peace and not of evil to give you the expected end. It won't ask you to do something that will going to hurt you. When you are feeling with it, pray the Lord, it will be the only benefit you when it is all said and done, you know. Now, we are not told to rejoice only when everything is going right. But when everything seems to be going wrong also, so at all times, right? Praising the Lord, that is benefit and all that, you know. It is truly a sacrifice of praise when you're called to do it. Praise the Lord. David said, I will never give unto God that which cost me nothing. Oh, King, that life, I take it for free and so on. No, he said, no, I won't offer to God that which cost me nothing. When you're not feeling good and so on, that, you know, so it becomes a sacrifice of praise. Bible tells us and so on, that, you know. So it costs you something. And the devil is defeated when you do that and so on, that, you know. Do you know that each time, when everything else fails, only praise will work. There are so many of them in the Bible, you know, but let's just go into it for that and so on, that, you know. So anyway, praise is the best way to sweeten the bitter and turn gloom into gladness. That's right. You know, look at throughout the Bible. So I say it again. Praise is the best way. Prayer is good, we know that, but praise is the best way to sweeten the bitter and turn gloom to gladness. Don't miss God's best by praising him only for those things which you label blessings. You call it blessings, right? Don't praise him for only that one. We are told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 17. Thessalonians chapter 1, 16 to 17. But he says, we are commanded to rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh, I want to do the will of God. That there is the will of God. See? Giving thanks. In everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, the sacrifice of praise unto God is a requirement of all Christians, of all believers. Under the Old Testament or Covenant, the Jews were required to offer animal sacrifice. Maybe the one I read in Jeremiah, maybe that type, sacrifice of faith to the house of the Lord. And, they sacrifice animals in order to obtain acceptance with God. But our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect Lamb of God. He came to take away the sins of the world by offering himself. No longer are we required to offer animal or blood sacrifices. Not anymore. Hebrews 10:10 says this. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. In another place, by one and perfect sacrifice, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. So anyway, won't you rejoice? Won't you be praising God? However, God does demand a sacrifice of you and me as a child of God in the dispensation of grace. That sacrifice of praise requires self-discipline, and the results are always glorious, always glorious. So when you don't even feel like doing that and so on, you just by divine discipline and so on, you just praise the Lord anyhow, and the outcome is always glorious. Let me show you the Bible. Paul ran to them in Acts chapter 19. The hidden Ephesians in post day sacrificed praise to their false God. Acts chapter 19 verse 34. All with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." These are idol worshippers, right? 2 hours, So they say, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So if the barbarian people of Ephesus could so cry out to the false god Diana for 2 whole hours, and a child of God here can only say 5 minutes to praise God, right? Or 10 minutes, or 15 minutes, and so forth. So, but this idol worshipper, worshiping idol and so on for 2 whole hours, you are told in here, great, to an idol and so on. So should, how about God's children, sacrificing praise to the living God? How about we, to praise the true and the living God, and devote ourselves to his praises and so forth. Now, should a believer endeavor to praise God for hours without stopping, will not the genuine supernatural power of God possess him and work his true signs and miracles in that life? That's right. 10 hours praising God, the supernatural power of God will come all over you. In one writing, God's glory will cover you. Whether you can see it or not, it makes no difference. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is there anyhow. The glory of the Lord is upon you. Anyhow, 1 Chronicles 23, verse 1. So when David was old and full of days, he made Solomon his son king over Israel. And he gathered together all the princes of Israel with the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward, and their number by their posts, man by man, was 38,000, of which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of the Lord, and 6,000 were officers and judges. Moreover, and go to this verse here, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made. David wrote by the Holy Ghost and so on, said David, to praise Yahweh. What am I saying here? So here in the Old Testament, David appointed 4,000 out of the 38,000 Levites to do nothing but praise the Lord and play instruments and celebrate the glories and the victories of the Lord. So many ways to preach praising the Lord. Talking about sacrificing praise to the Lord and so on. Anyway, our Lord Jesus Christ has not only washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 1:5 tells us that he has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Revelation 5:10 says so. So we too, don't say that in the day of David, like the Levites, so we too can be Levite praisers today. like the days of David, even more Levite praisers today. One who bless the Lord at all times, who offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, irrespective of circumstances, you know. So today, like never before, talking about his coming and so on, that, you know, get into the habit of it, until you become a skillful and joyful praiser of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can never lose. You got everything to gain. The glory of God will come upon you, whether you can see it or not, doesn't make a difference, but it's there anyways, you know. So anyway, so encouraging ourselves, you know, so yeah, prayer is good. But even praise is more glory. They all have their places, right? When you can't think of a thing to praise the Lord for because of all the things that push at you everywhere, you know, so when you can't think of anything because your mind is so much of all the things that are pressing against you and so forth, you kind of forget all those. That's why David, we have won, not to forget all the benefits, right? So when you can't think of a thing to praise the Lord for, the scripture gave us many, many things we should praise God for. Let's look at some of them. Psalm 103. I begin to read from 1. So, don't say that I don't have anything to praise God for. It's because of the problem of this war, we make it to things like that. That's not the reality, really. I will bless the Lord. It's a bless the Lord, rather. Oh, my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. When the flesh is telling you, oh, what can I praise God for? Think of, look at the Bible, so many innumerable things you can thank him for. All his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? And you can claim that every day, you know. So, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who can it deal with loving kindness and tender mercy? From the church, but the Lord says, I have given unto you eternal life, and you will never perish. Eternal life and so on, you know. Who satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that thy mouth is renewed like the eagles. We can even expand this one, I mean these blessings, more than the time of David, you know, in this new dispensation of grace that we are standing in today and so forth. So the thing is this. So, when your days seem like a shadow that declines, and you feel withered like the grass, praise him, and he will refresh you in the breeze of his spirit. Praise the Lord. As a quote from Latin, I read it again. When your days seem like shadow that declines, and you feel withered like the grass, praise the Lord, and he will refresh you in the breeze of his spirit. Now, you can praise the Lord for salvation. 1 Peter 2:9. Thinking of what to praise God for. You know very good thing to praise him for. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, aren't you happy and joyful? A royal priesthood. A holy nation. That is a Christian, you and I. That's who you are in Christ. A peculiar people, you are peculiar. Don't let anybody downgrade you or make you to think any otherwise. A peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise the Lord. Colossians, I don't have a scripture here. Bible says, I think Colossians is one, it's somewhere there. It says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated unto the kingdom of his dear son. That's where you are, out of the darkness, the power of the devil. You are out of it, now in the kingdom of God. Why can't you praise the Lord for that and so on? In Luke 10:20, rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. This one will pass away and so on, that you know. But kingdom of God, we are going to live with you forever and ever. Your name is written there. So rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Isaiah 12, the second verse through the fifth. Behold, God is my salvation. Put your name there. I will trust and not be afraid. That's one thing the devil will use against you, but you can't praise the Lord, right? see, they put all kind of things to make you to be afraid and so that problem over there and some of that, you know. So you just get lost in all those bewilderments. I'm not even about to praise the Lord or anything like that. You don't even remember the good thing God has done in the past. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is the core of my salvation. Put your name in all those places. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. That should be your song every day. Now, so praise God because he has given you eternal life. You can say that one before. 1 John 5:11. You know, and it says, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. This verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. This says you will have eternal life. You have eternal life as a child of God. Praise the Lord. That ye have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. See? Many, many things to rejoice about, right? So, as you consider the wonder of God's great gift, which is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 6:23 says that, you can only lift your voice and shout like Apostle Paul wrote to us, you know, and he lived by it in 2 Corinthians 9:15, and become your own testimony too. And say, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, our Lord Jesus Christ, you know. Now, the scripture says in Romans 8:17 that as a child of God, you are an heir of God. I'm reminding you just here and there, so many innumerable things as a Christian, why you should be rejoicing, and even when condition doesn't look like that physically, you sacrifice, you know, praise to the Lord and so forth in there, you know. So in Romans 8:17, as a child of God, you are an heir of God and joint heir with Christ. You know what an heir means? So all that God has belongs to you. Whether you know it or not, you see, belongs to you and I as God's children and so forth. The Lord said at one time, all thine are mine, and all mine are thine. We are one and the same thing, tell you the same thing. All that God has belongs unto you. So, and he gave you avenue and way to obtain them, you know. So, and he said, as the Father has sent me, so I have sent you too, and so forth, you know. Anyway, so, and we are told that the scripture cannot be broken. So what I just read to you, now you are heir of God, joined here with Christ. And the Lord told us in John 10:35, the scripture cannot be broken at all. It is true. You know? So, and when you are armed with this truth, with this fact, that his word cannot fail, cannot be broken, you can't help but to praise the Lord. You know? So, and just hints here and there, why we should be praising the Lord, no matter what the circumstances, you know? That is the quickest and shortest way to victory of any problem you may find myself or yourself. Praising God is the shortest way. There's such a thing as called the praise cure, you know. I always say it here, praise cure, you know. Anyway, now let's look at it again. Isaiah 57 verse 15 concerning, you know, for thus said the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy places, or holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So what am I reading this for? To praise him, because this same high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, also dwells in you. Mystery of mysteries. You know, he dwells in you. He even told us at the beginning, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I and the Father will come and take our abode in you. And he has done it, you know. So he dwells in you. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says so. He said, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Oh, that is more than to rejoice about, you know. So just big scripture here and there of so many innumerable things why we should praise the Lord. If it means to be a sacrifice where all the conditions around you dictate opposite, you know. So anyway, so we see. So and the Holy Spirit or the Holy One of Israel lives in you. He lives in your praises too, you know. The Lord dwells in your praises. He dwells, you know, and manifests himself in your praises. Yes, you know, I say the Holy One of Israel lives in your praises, dwells in your praises, and manifests himself in your praises. So not only in Israel, he said he inhabited the praises of Israel, right? Not only Israel, but any of his children even today. That's why I say to you, when you are praising him, he inhabits your praise. His glory is falling down on you, whether you can see it or not. Don't you make it? We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Praise the Lord. God is doing what he said he will do. That's one thing God cannot do. He can never lie, you know. So his word is true. So, and when you draw nigh to him in praise, he inhabits your whole being, your circumstances, and your problems and needs. You take care of everything in praise and something like that, you know. So now, one more thing. Praise the Lord because he heals. Because he heals, he delivers. So many miracles in the Bible. We can take one or two out. And even today, it's the same. We are told in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is saying, yesterday, today, and forever. Let me read about two or one or two miracles in the Bible. And then you can apply it to today too. Blind Bartimaeus, you all know about him. The son of Timaeus, Bible says, in Mark chapter 10, verse 46, sitting by the highway outside of Jericho as a beggar, the Lord said in Luke 18:42 of him, receive that sight, telling Bartimaeus and so, receive that sight, that faith has saved thee. Talking about the healing power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 43 says, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. He is our healer, the Jehovah Rapha. Even in the Old Testament, he has a covenant name, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. David said, he healed all my diseases. He does the same thing today. No matter what disease it may cause, just look unto the Lord. In Matthew 8:17, told us, himself took our infirmities, Matthew 17 says so, and bore our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24 says, himself bear our sins in his own body upon the tree, that we being dead to sin, should die, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Just take his word for what it is. He sent his word and he healed them. Psalm 106:20 or something like that, you know. He sent his word and he healed them. So anyway, so is the healer today, the great physician, and something like that, you know. So when doctors come to their wit end, they come to their end. That's where God began, you know, the great physician. One woman at one part, Bible says, you know, issue of blood, he has spent all her living on physicians and was not any better. She even got worse. Oh, the day he met the great physician. Bible says immediately, it's always immediately right there, and the flow of blood just stopped, you know, the great physician. Anyway, so he's here today too. So, and of the 40-year-old man born lame from him, he was over 40 years when he was here. He was born lame at the gate of the beautiful, Peter and John at the hour of prayer. Hour of prayer in the Bible. It's 3 p.m. Daniel called the time of the evening oblation, you know, at 3 p.m. Not even you have to start at 3 p.m. if you can, but you can pray anytime. Just have a set time, at least daily, where you praise God. So to them it's 3 p.m. and so on. And Daniel said at the time of evening oblation. Even I think Elijah the prophet and so on, that you know, and Mount Carmel, remember that what happened and so on. The prophets of there were doing all they can do. Then what time did he begin to do his own thing? Anyway, so make sure you have a set time or every day. You know, and so on, that you know. Anyway, so this man and Peter and John and so on at the beautiful gate, a man was over 40 years old, was healed, you know, and in Acts 3:8, when he was healed, and he leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You see, no matter what this is, nothing is too hard for the Lord. You know, the Bible says so, you know. So, and you praise the Lord because the word of God commands us to. Psalm 48 verse 1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. So, Psalm 57 verse 7. My heart is fixed, David said. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise no matter what is going on around me. My heart is fixed. Nothing going to change me from praising God. I don't care what the threat is. In one place, if a host encamp around me, in this I will not be afraid. You know, that's what I don't. I will not be afraid. My heart is fixed. You know, I will sing and give praise. Psalm 67 verse 3. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Psalm 113 verse 3. From the rising of the sun, this is a common one, to the going out of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Whatever you are asked, when the day breaks to the end of it, make it an habit. Praising the Lord and so forth. You have everything to gain. Even after you have written 150 Psalms were written, at the end of it, what is he saying? Psalm 150 verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And he said, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, praise God because you possess all things through our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you have claimed it or makes no difference. You know, but it's given to you. You know, and me, whether we have attained to it doesn't know, it's a different story. And you can't. Romans 8:32. He that spare not his own son. If you are wanting that request in your heart, that problem you are having, is it the will of God or will God give it to me or anything like that? No. God's word is not yea and nay. In Christ Jesus, all the promises of God, they are yea and amen to the glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what you want? So now, look at that one. He that spare not his own son, but deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. Praise the Lord. Limit not the Holy One of Israel, said the scripture. See? Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So you see that one? All things. You just reach your heart by faith. All the cut is your faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's all done. So, what is faith? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word of God. That's how you get faith. Coming by hearing. Hearing the word of God. So now, since the gracious giver has bestowed upon you and me all things that pertain unto life and godliness, let us respond that by praising him for it. Quickest way to get things from the Lord and so forth. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So this scripture doesn't say that he might bless you or me, or that he is able to bless you or me, or that even you hope he will bless you. No. It clearly declares that he has blessed you. Amen. In the mind of God is power, you know. Reach on out unto the Lord and take that which is yours. Let every honest seeker for truth meditate upon this, that the Father has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Let it be your meditation and so forth. You are blessed with heaven's best. That's what God has given to us. You know. Since God has blessed you, then boldly praise and glorify Him for such unspeakable blessing. You know. So praising the Lord and so on. Another thing is this. Praise the Lord because He gives you the desires of your heart. He promised it. Psalm 37 verse 4. What is the desire of your heart? Don't forget these things. Whatever you desire. I know. Psalm 37 verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So don't have the attitude of, if only God will give me my heart desires, then I will praise Him. Don't do like that, you know. To do that, I mean, it's to reverse the divine order. Oh, let me just come forth for the cause see. Then I will believe and I praise Him. No. You begin to praise Him first, amen. Praise the Lord. That's right. That's how it works, you know. So that's the divine order. Don't reverse that and because it won't work, you know. Now, anyway, praise the Lord because it gives you an abundant life. Abundant life. John 10:10. And come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You see? Many Christians they shortchange themselves. They think it's holiness to live one kind of wretched life and so on. That, you know, they think that people think, oh, no. He came that you may have life, that you may have it more abundantly. That's what He came to do. So let us have Him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, praise is the key to many things here. Praise is the key to many things. Praise is the key to the manifestation of God's presence. See that? Yeah, He is everywhere, but praise is the key to the manifestation of God's presence. Psalm 22 verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabited the places of Israel. He will inhabit yours too, you know, and mine too. It's not the respecter of persons, you know. So anyway, praise is the key to the revealed glory of God. Psalm 50 verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifies me. See, key to many things, right? Praise is the key to doing God's will here on earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18, which I read before. In everything, give thanks, right? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Praise is the key to fulfilling the Father's desire for true worshippers. I say praise is the key to fulfilling the Father's desire for true worshippers. Psalm 134 verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. So the church was born and baptized in the Holy Ghost during praise. I said the church was born and baptized in the Holy Ghost during praise. Let me read to you a couple of scriptures here. I'm going to round this up here. You know, so many ways you can preach praise, including the sacrifice of praise too. Meaning, when everything in you, carnal thing, and the flesh will say contrary and so on, that you know. So the church was born in praise. I will read a couple of Luke 24, verse 49. Here is the command the Lord gave to the disciples and so forth. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high. Verse 51 says this. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. And the Bible puts in there. See, that was continually. They got his instruction. I tarried in the city of Jerusalem, and they obeyed the Lord. About 500 people would have had him that day. Of that one, of that 500, as far as we know, only about 120 obeyed him anyway. So we know that. Anyway, so now what happened in Acts 2, as they obeyed, Bible says in Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost, now don't forget in 53, the same Christ that wrote the book of Luke also wrote the book of Acts. He's a Christ. His name is Luke. No, or Luke has told us, you know, and we know all scripture, right? Or by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, right? So he that wrote Luke 24:53, and they were continually in the temple, right? Praising and blessing God, waiting for the promise of the Father of Luke 24:49. What happened later? Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in the place. I mean, one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, out of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Don't forget, they were praising God, right? And worshiping and praising God and so on. In Luke 24:43 and so on, you know. And they appeared unto them, clothing tongues as of fire. And they sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues. And the Spirit gave them utterance. So we see right there. So the church was born, you know, as the disciples were praising God and worshiping the Lord, even as they were commanded. So praise is the key to the continual Spirit-filled life. So praise is the key to the continual or a continual Spirit-filled life. Don't forget in Galatians 5:16, they walk in the Spirit, right? One way to do it is to continually praise the Lord. Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, wearing in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that praise is the key to a continual spiritual life. Praise is the key to enter the very court of God, as we wrap this up here. David knew the secret and he wrote to us by the Holy Ghost. Praise is the key to enter the very court of God. Psalm 100:4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. As he said, every true prayer begin with praise and end with praise. Praise the Lord. That is the way to enter God's presence. Right there, I show you how to do it and how to do it. Psalm 53:4. Thus will I bless thee when I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Psalm 146:2. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. We're going to end up at the psalm's end in Psalm 150. You know, after all those psalms, we're still praising God. Psalm 150, beginning from verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbre and dance. Praise him with the string instruments and organ. Praise him upon the loud cymbal. Praise him upon the eye-sounding cymbal. Let everything that has praise, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says, what else can we give unto the Lord? David even wrote, what shall I render unto the Lord? He has given me everything else. He gave us everything else. The only thing we can give is praise. Lord, help us not to be blinded by the negative and demonic atmosphere of this evil age, that we get in our way of praising you at all times. When we know whatever we are confronted with, you are not the author thereof. Sometimes you allow them to prove our sonship, to show the devil that we are not bastards. And as we stand in praise, we read throughout the scripture, not one singular time did they praise you and you failed to intervene. We remember, O Lord, that while your apostle Paul and Silas preaching the gospel and so forth, persecuted, beaten and bleeding and so forth in Acts chapter 16. They didn't feel sorry for themselves. They were even happy that they were counted worthy to have suffered so much things on account of the word of God. The Bible said they sang and sing praises at midnight. They weren't just singing quietly. The Bible said they sang so loud all the prisoners had them. During that prayer, the supernatural break forth. The angel of the Lord appeared. There was an earthquake in India just by praising the Lord, even in the midst of adversity, when all the flesh showed nothing to praise God for. Quaker. Bible says every man's bond was broken for him, and the chains were broken. And even the doors were ajar, so on that, you know. So we know, Lord, we see everywhere God gave the victory, even when doesn't look anything to any man. So we thank you. We can go on and on like that in the Bible. Jehoshaphat compassed with army so mighty, he himself confessed, saying, Lord, we have no might against this host, but our eyes are upon you. While they were waiting upon the Lord, yeah, they fasted, as they were fasting, even the little ones were fasting and so forth. Well, there came the prophecy, and said, praise is the answer. Set yourself apart, appointed singers, and let them pray the beauty of holiness. And we are told, as they did, as the prophecy of the Lord said, they said, the Bible says, ye shall not have to fight in this battle and so on. This battle is the Lord, sir. Let us learn that we can turn our battles to the Lord through praises. And true enough, Lord, not one single arrow to me to be fought. But the Bible says, oh Lord God, those people they have, the enemy had to destroy themselves. And Lord, and they had a valley of Beraka. When they got the victory, they begin to praise God. They set the day apart. And we can always have a valley of Beraka. When in our conflict in this world with the power of the devil and so forth, we stood our ground by praising God. There will always be a valley of Beraka. Lord, we thank you this morning. We worship and glorify your name, Lord. Help us not to forget this secret, but to live in it, living in praise, praising the Lord. Let us not forget in heaven. There are those who got it, all those angelic things. Never even stop, night and day, praising the Lord. So we thank you for showing us the secret of praise. Why do we need to be to sacrifice it to you because of the condition we find ourselves in? We know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the spiritual wickedness. The Bible says that all these things you permit them for us to face them because we want to show your manifold wisdom unto them through us. So we thank you this morning for the revelation, Lord God, of power in praise. So we thank you. Help us by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to always live in praise and to enjoy the great and glorious benefits thereof. Thank you for blessing us this morning. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.